now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. As always, it is such a joy to have you with us as we study the Word of God together. You know, we've started a new series together on the story of Noah, one of my favorite stories. And over the past couple of weeks, we've been preparing together by looking at the time between the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden up to the time just preceding the Great Flood. And we've seen how mankind has grown and developed in many, many ways, and yet they also grew steadily more and more wicked and evil, to the point where God eventually decides to wipe the slate clean and start all over with Noah and his family. Now, this brings front and center a major theme in Scripture that has become very unpopular to talk about, and that is the theme of judgment, the judgment of God on sinful people who refuse to repent and turn to Him. You know, many people have this belief that because God is love, He's never going to truly destroy anyone for their unbelief or their disobedience. But that's not what the Bible says. No, right from the beginning, we find that there is a strong contrast between those who are saved and those who are unsaved. The saved are inheritors of God's promises. The unsaved are inheritors of God's wrath, His judgment. And we see this contrast permeating and extending all the way through the Bible. And that's because you cannot reject the God who is life and still have life. Now, some have asked how a good God could cause a flood on such a massive scale. But what we often forget is that it says that during this time, God was striving with mankind. He was seeking to draw men unto Himself. Remember that the lives of Adam and Methuselah, they pretty much bridged the entire time period between creation and the flood. And they were giving revelation and truth to people. Enoch, we are told, in Jude 14-15, he was preaching and prophesying during this period. Noah himself was preaching as he was building this incredible ark, which also, I think, served as a powerful sermon illustration of coming judgment and, if people would turn, redemption. Now, let's go back to Enoch for a second because it says he was a man who walked with God. And then remember that God miraculously took him to heaven. And that must have been witnessed by a lot of people. And therefore, it must have been a very powerful demonstration that God is involved in human affairs. And plus, remember, like we said last week, the name Methuselah literally means when he is dead, it shall be sent. So, like so many in Scripture, his very name is the embodiment of his message and his warning. And I find it so significant to this whole question regarding the mercy of God in the midst of his intention to judge, because Methuselah is also the man in the lineage of Noah who lives the longest. And so it speaks to the fact that God is staying his hand of judgment as long as possible, because his deepest heart's desire is to redeem as many people as possible. Now, the last, but really the overarching witness to the coming judgment of God was the Holy Spirit himself. God said that his Spirit would not always strive with man. And what that reveals, as we've already mentioned, is that he was striving with man. He was wrestling with mankind because God doesn't want to judge. He wants to redeem. But eventually, mankind's hearts have become so corrupt, there is no sign that repentance is ever going to take place. And so it tells us in Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, so that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. You know, just recently I Googled the phrase, trust your heart. I just wanted to see what would come up. And one of the top results I read a portion from, it was an article written by a transformational coach, a clinical hypnotherapist and a counselor. And she's located not far from here over in Seattle. And I want you to listen to what she says. She writes, "We spend so much of our energy looking outside of ourselves for answers and solutions. We believe that someone else has the answer, that they are experts, and they know more than we do. Now, granted, there are people who are leaders in their respective fields who can offer expert advice. However, when it comes to what is right for you, your heart has the answer," she says. "If you simply quiet your mind long enough to hear it." She says, "We spend our lives trying to live up to others' expectations of who we are meant to be. This is a betrayal," she says, "of your inner truth. Who you really are is not defined by the external world, but by your internal sanctuary." She says, "Deep within you lies the very essence of love, strength, and joy. To trust your inner self is to trust your heart. It doesn't mean that you will not make mistakes or make a wrong turn," she says. "No, that's all part of your heart's journey. If you trust and embrace the journey, your heart will get you back on the right path." Now, that last part stunned me. Because after telling you to trust your heart, she admits that your heart will still lead you astray. Into mistakes, into wrong turns, she says. "But don't worry. It will get you back on the right path," she promises. "The wrong turns are just part of your heart's journey," whatever that means. You know, I immediately began, after I read what she wrote, to think of some of the worst dictators in all of history. Dictators who also followed their hearts. Scripture points us to a very different model. Don't trust in your heart, rather allow your heart to be led by God. It tells us in Proverbs 3:5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." You know, for a while now, I've been doing a book study with some men in our church, Renton Park Chapel. And we've been going through a book by Max Anders called 30 Days to Understanding the Bible, which is a fantastic book for giving you a foundational understanding of how the Bible's put together, what its basic fundamental teachings are. And in the latest chapter we read together, Max Anders shares an illustration from the very first Star Wars movie, which I just introduced my son to last year. And for those of you who have seen it, you'll remember that in the Star Wars film, A New Hope, the future of the galaxy is riding on the success of a single mission to wipe out and destroy the Death Star, and that's the Empire's new battle station that's powerful enough to destroy entire planets. But the Death Star is not without weakness. No, the Rebellion, who is loyal to the ideas of the Old Republic, they have learned that a perfect shot into an exhaust port from a very skilled fighter pilot will start a chain reaction that should result in the Death Star's destruction. And so after a fierce battle, only one attack ship remains. And it's piloted by the movie's hero, Luke Skywalker. But as Luke makes his final approach toward the Death Star's exhaust port, his departed mentor, Obi-Wan Kenobi, speaks to him from beyond the grave and tells him to turn off his computer and trust the Force. And so Luke disables his targeting computer. He places all his trust in the Force and makes the near impossible shot, and the Death Star explodes, and peace is restored to the galaxy. Well, at least until Empire Strikes Back, of course. But Max Anders says this. He says, a generation has grown up thinking of this memorable scene as a way of life. He says, there may be no such thing as the Force, but the message remains, listen to your heart. Now, at first, he says, that sounds like great advice. But the problem is that the heart is not always right. And that's exactly what Ecclesiastes 10:2 tells us. It says, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. And ironically, this is confirmed in the Star Wars story itself. Darth Vader also follows the Force, but he follows the dark side. And it has led him into spiritual turmoil and self-destruction. Obi-Wan Kenobi even tells Luke he is more machine now than man, twisted and evil. And that was an aspect of sin that George Lucas got exactly correct. Following your heart into sin and darkness will ultimately dehumanize you. It will twist you, and ultimately, it will rob you of your humanity. And seeing that process is exactly what kept Luke from turning to the dark side. Because in the final film, after he defeats his father, Darth Vader, spoiler alert, he cuts off Darth Vader's mechanical hand. Remember, he exposes the wires inside. And then Luke looks at his own mechanical hand, which was a replacement for his flesh and blood hand that he lost to his father in an earlier duel. And so he realizes that following his current heart compulsion to kill Vader would set him on that same dehumanizing path. And so he does the right thing. He denies his compulsion, he throws away his lightsaber, and he chooses to keep the law of the Jedi. He adheres to a law, a code outside of himself and his own immediate desires. And that's where George Lucas got it right. Now, he gets it wrong in some of his other films, saying that both sides of the Force need to be brought into some kind of balance. But in this scene, he gets it right. No, darkness is not to be balanced. It is to be rejected. Light is to be embraced. And to know which is which, one must not follow their heart, but a written code outside of themselves. And in the real world, that code is the Word of God. It is a source of truth that is without error. It tells us who God is, how He made us, what our purpose ultimately is, who and what we are now, and what our potential futures are. And being the very Word of God, it is the final authority over each and every one of our lives. Now, at this point, we transition from the state of men's hearts to the condition of God's heart. And though God's heart is pure and holy and perfect, it's in a very bad place in this passage. Because it says in verse 6 and following, the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. Now, what we must see here about the story of Noah is that the greatest catastrophe ever to befall mankind opens with the grief of God. God is in pain. His heart is broken over the sin of his children, much the same as a human parent grieves over an estranged or rebellious child. And yet, in the midst of all of this heartache, there is a bright spot. There is somebody who brings joy to the heart of God. It says in verse 8, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And in the coming weeks, we're going to see why. How that favor was intimately wrapped up with Noah's walking with God blamelessly. He was a righteous man in the midst of an unrighteous world. And that righteousness, it wasn't something inherent to him, but was a righteousness that flowed out of his walk with God. And so my encouragement to you today is this. If you want to avoid God's judgment, if you want to walk in closeness and intimacy with him, and have a life that is surrounded by his favor, then walk with him. Don't follow your heart, no, follow him. Walk with him. And in him, you will know his great salvation. Let's walk with him this day and every day. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.